TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
In order to secure convictions in a court of law, it is essential that we conclusively.
Sports.
Shot clock at 4. Doncic. The step back 3. You bet.
Music.
You set my world on fire. Yes,
and even podcasts. Whatever you love, hear it right here on TuneIn. Go to TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app to start listening.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Healthy baby skin starts from the bottom. Pampers Swaddlers diapers absorb wetness away from the skin better than the leading value brand, with up to 100% leak-proof protection to help keep your baby's skin dry. Don't forget to pair Pampers diapers with new Pampers Free and Gentle wipes. They clean better and are 5 times stronger than Huggies Natural Care for easy cleanup without fear of tearing, no matter the mess. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician-recommended brand.
One of the greatest center fielders baseball has ever seen will be honored through the rest of this baseball season, but specifically coming up on Thursday in Alabama, where he played his very first games as a member of the Birmingham Black Barons. 17 years old. That was the start of something special. People who saw him there had no idea. The San Francisco Giants have determined that they will play on Thursday in honor of Willie Mays. So they're not making any changes. They will be there at Rickwood Field in Birmingham. And a lot of these guys, the current Giants, found out about Willie Mays passing because the Cubs made an announcement. Even Logan Webb, who was heading back out to the mound, he found out as he was about to pitch another inning. And so they had a moment of silence as a tribute. And Webb confirms that they will play Thursday to honor the great Willie Mays. Stories about him, which are really cool, just to get another layer and another peek, some insight into his personality. This one comes from Mike Yastrzemski because of his dad. Of course, he had interactions with, not his dad, his grandfather. He had interactions with Willie Mays. He said Willie even told him he should be playing center field when he first got called up. And Mike jokes that even though Willie was losing his eyesight, that was something he struggled with in his later years. He told Mike he couldn't see much of the game, but he could see that Mike should be a center fielder. Same position that Willie played. And he was a multi-sport star, but baseball apparently was his absolute favorite. And boy, was it the right choice. Completely different era. Completely different culture then, different atmosphere. Baseball was America's pastime going back to the 50s and the 60s. And as I say, I can't imagine the type of pressure that he was under, what people would say to him and how people looked at him or spoke about him, spoke to him in some cases. And yet, you very rarely see an interview with him or a video of him where he's not exuding joy dominating, of course, but not displaying his love for the game and his love for being out there on the field, interacting with teammates and fans. And that remained even after he had retired. He's a Hall of Famer, inducted in 79. And gosh, the videos of him now and those conversations, those are 24 hours a day now, going to be over this next week and on through the rest of the season. Definitely check them out. I wish I had seen him play live. A couple decades too late, but I wish I had seen him play live. Who's an athlete that you wish you had seen play in his prime? We've got a post up at Amy After Hours. You can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And then our Facebook page too. Lots of people already weighing in. We'll get to those. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Aaron Judge has got a similar combination. Now it's smaller sample size, but a similar combination. When he's healthy, he plays an incredibly athletic center field with, well, center field, right field, depending upon where they play him. I know he likes center field. Sometimes they have moved him, the Yankees, to try to protect him, but he really wants to be in the center, well, the center of the field, the center of everything. So Aaron Judge has the defense. Love to see him track down fly balls. He's got the power, of course, with the bat. There are certainly times when he hits for average as well. He would love to be a World Series champion, but he's an MVP. He's already winning awards. He already serves as an ambassador for the game. And we'll get to his injury a little bit later as the Yankees and Orioles were facing off in a critical AL East matchup. But, of course, Aaron was asked about Willie Mays after the game was done. And remember, he's a guy who grew up loving the Giants.
Terrible, terrible news. You know, I was a big Willie Mays fan. You know, what he meant to the game, what he meant to, you know, California, all the Giants fans out there, you know, especially me growing up. You know, he wanted to play like Willie and, you know, make those catches that he did. The numbers he put out on the field and what he did are impressive, but, you know, him as a person, him as a human being was even bigger. He's a bigger, he was bigger than baseball, man. He was something special, and, you know, the baseball world is definitely going to be missing a great one.
Spoken by a guy who not only plays the same position and has a similar combination, maybe not the speed as much. Although you wouldn't call Aaron Judge slow, just he's a big dude. There's a lot to move. But just that same athleticism that allows him to be good at so many different facets of baseball. And the smile and the charismatic personality. And people are drawn to him. And he wanted to be Willie Mays when he was growing up. That's awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our friend Chicago Johnny is listening in Vegas and wants to share his Willie Mays story. What do you got for us?
Good morning, Amy. Back in 1965, I was 10 years old. My father took me to a baseball game at Wrigley Field. And yes, even back then, I was a Cub fan. And they were playing the Giants. And I'll never forget this. When Willie Mays came up to bat, I asked my father, "Why, Dad, why is everybody standing up and cheering for this guy? He's on the other team." He said, "Son, that is the great Willie Mays." And then what does he do? He hits a home run. And after he rounds the bases, he goes in the dugout. They would not stop and clapping, and they gave him a curtain call. He had to come out in the dugout for a curtain call. And I'll never forget that. Now I understand why everybody was cheering for the great Willie Mays.
Well, that would have been later in his career, right, where his reputation then preceded him. And even though people didn't have as many opportunities to see him on TV, a national broadcast, still by that time, he would have been an attraction and the reason why people went to the ballpark.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't. I was only 10 years old, and I couldn't understand this. I said, Dad, why is everybody standing up and cheering for this guy? He's on the other team. And my dad said, son, that's a great Willie Mays. So at that time, I didn't understand.
Wow.
But, you know, now I do.
What a neat memory. Ah, I love that. 10 years old and you got to see him play.
Yeah. And he hits a home run. Unbelievable.
That's awesome.
So, God bless his soul.
Very cool. So, thank you for sharing that story with
you're
us.
You're welcome, dear.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. That's awesome. I love these stories. A couple of personal accounts of either seeing him or even shaking his hand. And if you have one, you can find us online at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. And then, of course, our phone number, 855-212-4227. I like this statement from Tony Clark, who's the executive director of the Players Union. Quote, he played the game with an earnestness, a joy, and a perpetual smile. That's awesome. That seems perfect to describe Willie Mays. As I say, you see the pictures, you watch the videos. It was clear that he loved baseball and loved being on that stage. A perpetual smile that resonated with fans everywhere. Clark goes on, he will be remembered for his integrity, his commitment to excellence, and a level of greatness that spanned generations. You can find all kinds of people still who will tell you that Willie Mays is the greatest player they ever saw. Every accolade that you can imagine, and people will tell you, even the numbers, the awards, the honors don't do him justice. I loved how gracious he was as he got older, that he still smiled. He still was around the game of baseball. A universal ambassador. A universal beloved figure that people were attracted to. It didn't matter if you saw him play or not, which I think is pretty amazing. I am seeing your answers online. The athlete you wish you had seen play live. And I love this question because there's so many different ways that you can go with it. So you can check it out. You can let us know. But some of the answers that are coming in from all different sports, it kind of take us down memory lane. One answer, Jim Thorpe. Yeah. Henry says Ted Williams. Craig says it would have been really cool to watch Jesse Owens compete. Oh, yeah, another larger-than-life athletic legend who you see mostly in black and white. Brooks Robinson, that's the answer from Al. And then our friend Mac says the athletes I would have liked to see play were Ruth and Ty Cobb. He did see Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Roberto Clemente, both Brooks and Frank Robinson. Wow. Definitely an era which is different for Major League Baseball. Jim is in Georgia. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I'm 60 years old, and I remember Rico Cardi and as far as a bunch of them all the way back, and Dizzy Dean being a co-host and the announcer thing. But it's something about ever since I was 4 or 5 years old, if I went to one of my doctors or the dentist, or if I went to some other places, there's just something about that Jim Thorpe picture of him in that football uniform in black and white standing there. And everybody's like, who is that? I mean, my friends back then growing up, who is that? And I had asked my dad and my uncle one time, and somebody actually stole his shoes, because you know he was Indian. And they stole his shoes, and they found a pair that somebody had discarded that didn't fit right, and then he still went out and wore those and competed.
Yeah, it's amazing what we wouldn't even consider these days, or even modern athletes wouldn't even consider, or it would be a major issue. And yet so much of those previous generations and eras, they had to adapt and adjust and play under such different conditions. I appreciate your phone call, Jim. Thanks so much for listening. 855-212-4227. A few of your responses on Facebook. William says, Henry, Hank Aaron with the Atlanta Braves, when he broke Babe Ruth's home run record, that's the athlete he wishes that he had seen play live, and especially in that moment. Lou Gehrig is the answer from Louise. Marie says, heavyweight boxing champ Joe Louis and Football Hall of Famer Jim Brown. Jim says Michael Jordan. Anthony goes with Willie Mays. And then Paul on her Facebook page about Willie, the best there ever was, loved watching him play as a kid. Okay, I'm jealous. Mike on Facebook, both Joe DiMaggio and Ted Williams, they're military veterans and the greatest hitters in their era. Another James, he was the greatest overall baseball player ever. Mickey Mantle admitted it. Let's see. Daryl says Nolan Ryan is the athlete he wished he had seen face hitters live. I remember watching Nolan Ryan. That was an experience on TV. Daryl says he was an amazing pitcher on the back end of his career when I was growing up in the 80s. Lou Gehrig, another one. That one's from Elliot. This is a post from Andy on Facebook. Was lucky enough to see Willie Mays at the end of his career in the late 60s with the Giants and 73 with the Mets. The player I would have loved to see was Ted Williams, but also Rocky Marciano. Oh my gosh, that's one of my mom's favorite memories. She got to see him play. Loved watching him. Let's see, the Wayne says, oh, no, Wayne's complaining about the radio signal. Brian says Roger Staubach. I've seen him on TV, never seen him live. Maurice on our Facebook page. Willie, for me, is the GOAT. He's the reason I'm a lifetime San Francisco Giants fan. His career was spectacular. He's a hometown hero as well. An ambassador for the state of Alabama before Charles Barkley, Nick Saban, Bo Jackson, Joe Namath, Bart Starr, Cam Newton. For me, Willie Howard Mays was the greatest baseball player ever. I like that. So we'll get to more of your reflections and your answers on both of our social media sites. At Amy After Hours. You can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything there or on our Facebook page. We're trying to collect as much tribute audio as we possibly can, and we'll mix it in over the course of the rest of this show. Did you hear where the Celtics went to celebrate their 18th NBA championship? First for this group, of course. It wasn't Sunrise where the Panthers play, but it was pretty darn close. A lot of athletes down there in South Beach. A lot of performances on Tuesday. We'll get to game 5 of the Stanley Cup final straight ahead. Good to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Thrown across, and what a pickoff by Connor Brown. He's got a short-handed breakaway. Brown, backhander, score! Connor Brown gives the Edmonton Oilers a 1-0 lead. 5.5 minutes into game 5.
Feed to Bouchard. Left circle, McDavid in front. Hyman to Nugent. Hopkins denied by the blocker of Sergei Bobrovsky. McDavid, as the power play comes to a close. Slap shot, score! Evan Bouchard extends the lead to 2-0. Edmonton, a power play goal.
Left corner offensive zone. On his backhand to Connor McDavid, who breaks loose. McDavid, sharp angle shot. He scores. And Edmonton takes a 3-0 lead. Connor McDavid, his 7th from Fogle. And the Oilers threatening to drag the Panthers all the way back to Alberta.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of our friend Jack Michaels on Oilers Radio. And yeah, Edmonton using the power play, but also scoring shorthanded. The second straight game in which they've had a shorthanded goal first, or maybe two of the last three, I'm trying to remember, based on all of the deets blending together as the hockey, the postseason, the hockey playoffs stretch on. Stanley Cup final is headed to a game six. They're going back to Edmonton, back to Alberta. And remember, this is the longest distance, point to point, between two teams and their stadiums, and how far they have to travel. We've never had this kind of mileage racked up in Stanley Cup final history. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So not only did the Oilers break through on one of their earlier power plays, they're able to post a 3-0 lead in game number five. Now, Matthew Tkachuk had a goal. Panthers found some life, but the Oilers weren't done.
Top unit will remain out there for the...
TuneIn is the audio platform with something for everyone. News.
In order to secure convictions in a court of law, it is essential that we conclusively...
Sports.
Shot clock at 4. Doncic. The step back 3. You bet!
Music.
You set my world on fire. Yes,
and even podcasts. Whatever you love, hear it right here. On TuneIn, go to TuneIn.com or download the TuneIn app to start listening.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Oilers on their ATCO power play. ATCO, your trusted Alberta retailer. Here's McDavid dialing it up for one last rush on the man advantage. Using a screen, he'll cut to his left. Carry it through traffic to the net. One-timer score! It's Corey Perry! His first of the Stanley Cup playoffs!
Once again, Jack Michaels on Oilers Radio. Connor McDavid with another humongous game. And I was actually watching this with my husband, who doesn't know much about hockey. Was telling him some of the nuances, some of the rules. He's not watching a whole lot growing up in Texas. Not as huge a thing for him, especially not in the Temple, Texas area. He's much more into football. However, I've told him I'll take him to a game that once you're in the arena and you can see the speed and the power of the game in person, it's a completely different experience and you may get hooked. So we're watching Connor McDavid and the Oilers. It's the second period. They've got that 3-0 lead. Then the Panthers come back and score themselves. And I point out to him, Connor McDavid, best player in the world. That's what I said to him. That's widely accepted as the best player on the planet. And as I'm telling him this, and we're watching this second period, in which, by the way, there were 5 goals scored in the second period, Connor McDavid weaves his way through traffic. He goes from one end of the ice into the Panthers zone. He busts through a couple of guys who, I don't know, if it looked like they were trying to set up a wall like you would in soccer. Just kind of milling around, hoping they can get in his way. He weaves his way through them. Keeps possession of the puck. And as he gets about flush where Sergei Bobrovsky, he's on the left side of Bobrovsky. Of course, he's attracting all kinds of attention. He just flips the puck into the middle of the ice, right in front of the crease. Corey Perry, all he has to do is knock it in. It was a beautiful pass. And obviously, you have to try to slow the guy down, but he's a great combination of speed and stick work and power, and it was one of those Connor McDavid moments. So yeah, he didn't get the goal in that situation, but the assist might have been even more brilliant. Corey Perry didn't have to do a whole lot. The stick, all he had to do was flick the stick because the puck was there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So now, keeping track. Now, the Oilers are still trailing 3-2 in this series. They do have game 6 on their own ice. And we had talked about this with the Celtics and the Mavericks. If the Mavericks could have won game five, they were never close. If they could have won game five in Boston and forced a game six back to Dallas, well, then maybe the pressure starts to play into it a little bit. In the NBA, no team has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit in a best of seven series. It's never happened. What did we say last year? Three times a game seven's ever been forced. Maybe I'm wrong about that. It's rare. The Celtics did it last year against the Miami Heat, but got blown out in game seven. So often, and you can see this in a single game or you can see it in the course of a series, when you're down as a team, you have to expend so much energy just to get back to even that very often you're out of energy by the time you get back to the point where you've made it even Steven again. And with all this travel, it's a lot. Now, there is something to be said about how the Oilers have got new life and they've got a bit of a spring in their skates, if you will. And they're busting out when it comes to goals. They had eight on Friday night. Oh, no, Saturday night, I'm sorry, in game number four. And now five of them, there was an empty netter, but five of them in game number five. They had fewer shots than the Panthers, but still more than what the Panthers would like. The takeaways were about even. The giveaways, the turnovers were about even. This is much more of their style of play. They can shoot and score from a bunch of different places. Obviously, they've got guys all over the ice, especially those top lines who can score. And the volume of chances that they're creating is now putting more pressure on the Panthers' defense as well as on Bobrovsky. He's given up some goals in these last couple games. And that, of course, builds confidence for the Oilers, not to mention they're going back to their own ice in game number six. Now, Connor McDavid, he wanted to drag the series back to Edmonton. He actually says this has been a lot of fun.
Keep winning battles. Keep the special teams going. You know, that's always been our advantage with a lot of the matchups that we have. And 5-on-5, you know, Zach said, win battles, get it out of your zone and play in their zone.
Hockey is simple. You can go through systems and you can go through structure and you can go through all of the details. But at the end of the day, it's whoever wins the most battles. That's really it. Like most nights, if you look at the end of the game and you watch the game, it's who's winning the battles on the walls, who's winning the net front battles in front of your net, in front of their net. That's how goals are scored.
Or goals are scored when they hit your leg and they bounce into the net. That was kind of funny. Was that their first goal or their second goal? It might have been early. Oh, it was the power play, wasn't it? It was early in the second period, and he's standing in front of the net, and the puck comes in from the top. I mean, it was going wide. It was going wide to the left and clips his leg and gets redirected. And I've watched it a couple of times, Jay. You can disagree with me. It was not intentional. He was just standing there. He wasn't doing anything to redirect the puck. It happened to clip his leg and get deflected into the net.
No, you're right. But he has become a master of positioning, Zach Hyman. They call him Shaq Hyman for a reason, because he's just right there to dunk the puck home every time. He waits for McDavid to make a couple moves right there. Bang.
So Connor McDavid, with a back-to-back breakout games here, has got 42 points now in 23 playoff games. For people who love to compare him to Wayne Gretzky and kind of see the trajectory of their careers, he is 5 points away from tying Gretzky's record of 47 points in 18 games. Now, completely different, right? There's far fewer games for Gretzky, but that goes back to the mid-80s. Why am I yelling? That goes back to the mid... I love Wayne Gretzky. To the mid-80s when he had 47 points in 18 games for a single playoff run. McDavid is close to that. And the Oilers they're racking them up. 80 goals as a team in these playoffs. And just a little more history, because again, it's rare, though it has happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs before. But the Oilers are only the fourth team in history to trail 3-0 in the final and rally even to force a game six. So this is fairly rare. I'm trying to decide if I remember any of these. They're all before I came to the network, so probably not. Let's see. The Devils in 2012, they lost in six games. It hadn't happened since the 40s before that. The Toronto Maple Leafs ended up winning in seven games. So they were down 0-3 in 1942, in case there's anyone out there who remembers it vividly. In 1942, the Maple Leafs were down 0-3 and ended up winning the Stanley Cup Final in seven games. The only team in NHL history to win the Cup after being down 0-3. So there's a precedent there. Not so in basketball, but a precedent in hockey. I love what Paul Maurice had to say. Not mad, just disappointed about how this played out.
I'm not feeling deflated. Neither is the hockey team. They're not feeling deflated. A little grumpy.
A little grumpy about the flight, I wonder if that's the case. Matthew Tkachuk had a goal. It was good to see that from the Panthers. And he was asked about the pressure, whether or not they're feeling it heading into a game six.
No. It's not an elimination game for us. You know, right now we're going up there. We have a 3-2 series lead. Just got to take care of business like we did in game three.
We started to relax a little bit and just get back to playing our game. I think we're gripping the sticks a little tight. We wanted it a little too bad tonight.
Interesting from Sam Bennett. Sometimes you hear that cliche. We wanted it a little too much. We got tight. We felt the pressure. Just the effort was there. The desire was there. But because they're feeling it, and you know how close they are sometimes, I guess you could call it a version of nerves, but I feel like that's probably not as accurate. You hear about this sometimes in tennis, though, where a player is on the verge of a major, a verge of a big championship. Maybe it's a stage they haven't been on before. And yeah, the nerves, the mentals kick in a little bit and they kind of lose their footing, lose that focus, maybe thinking about what's to come or thinking about what's on the line, what's at stake. And we're all humans. I don't care how good you are at your sport. We're all humans. We're all susceptible to those moments, susceptible to those feels, if you will. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in game number six, which isn't until Friday. That stinks. Why is it that we're continuing to get elimination games in the Stanley Cup Final on weekends? So, yeah, they're going to play on potentially a week even after the NBA Finals are done. But, yeah, Matthew Tkachuk, don't ask him about pressure. No, he says. It's not an elimination game for us. And I feel like that's the most important point you can make. I'm watching McDavid weave through traffic again, going up ice, and he never loses possession of the puck. Just kicks it right to the middle of the crease, actually right above the crease. Perry doesn't have to do jack. All he has to do is keep going forward and flick it into the back of the net. It's a little bit like Caitlin Clark setting you up on an assist. All you have to do is finish the layup. That's it. Anyway, I like what Matthew had to say because it's right. If you can keep that perspective, we're still not the ones facing elimination, right? Like we're the ones who are in a position of power. We're still dealing in a position of strength. Marco Belletti's here in studio. So the game was in Sunrise, which is South Florida, right? Mm-hmm. Panthers hosting the Oilers, potential cup clincher. I'm assuming the cup was in the building.
Has to be.
Right, has to be. Now the Cup has to make another trip. Yep. Actually, the Stanley Cup has, Lord Stanley's Cup has a Twitter account. I'm going to check it out. Anyway, do you know who else was in South Florida? There was a flight tracker.
I think I know.
This is what it's come to. The Celtics hopped on a plane at noon on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many of them slept at all before that. Mm-hmm. Hopped on a plane at noon on Tuesday, Eastern time, landed in Miami to party and celebrate their NBA title. Now, Jay and I are a little confused. I texted a friend of mine who works with the Celtics or works for the Celtics. He said, his response was, I don't know, you ask a bunch of 25-year-old dudes what they want to do and how they want to party, and you're going to get some strange responses. Why not party in Boston? Do you think it's because there's too many people that would recognize them or they felt like they can't really cut loose? They will party with the parade on Friday, but why go to Miami?
I don't know, obviously, to speculate. I would think Miami is a better place to party than Boston.
Ouch.
I think it's as simple as that.
That's a slap in the face to Boston bars and establishments, don't you think?
Yeah, but I don't think they care.
Well, of course not.
To me, I don't think this is about getting recognized. I don't think they care.
No. You think they want to get recognized?
I find that hard to believe.
Okay, gotcha.
And they also know that they can wind up in a back room where they can get taken away from any other. Like, that's not, I don't think, going through their
you
mind.
You can also drink for free in
Boston.
I
don't think they care. I think they like the scene. And it seems like a lot of people like the scene.
True. Athletes love the scene.
To go to Miami. And it's as simple as that. Let's get to Miami.
Jay,
now, I'm a little surprised that they have it all over the boards and everything. Let's get to Miami is the rallying cry for winning a title.
That seems
a little strange to me, but I'm also not, 25 and rich that I can go to Miami and party.
But you, again, as you point out, there's plenty of places you can party in Boston, not to mention there's a freaking heat wave in the Northeast right now. It feels like Miami.
I don't think it's the weather. I don't think it's the weather that they want.
Granted, neither Marco nor I are 25-year-old dudes. And Jay, while he's closer in age, he doesn't really understand it either. Maybe it's just the scene.
I would be livid if I was a Celtics fan or someone who lived in Boston as a Celtics fan. This is such a slap in the face.
But if you run a Celtics bar, like you run a bar where fans show
this
up.
This is what you play for if you're a fan, like for you to win, for them to hang out and rep your city, and then they're gonna win and rep Miami. I don't think so. I don't know.
It is really interesting. I don't quite get it. Because again, unless it's about not wanting to be bothered, because
I don't buy that.
There's no way they're not recognizing Miami. Now, maybe Miami doesn't care, and they're Celtics. So what is the difference?
This is the one time where you want to be recognized because you just won. What's anyone going to say to you? You won.
Right, but true. I just don't think it's about that.
No.
For instance, if you were worried about not being recognized, you could go to New York, right? Like, New York, nobody cares about celebrities. They're everywhere, so they just kind of leave them alone most of the time. Not that you would party in New York, but I just don't get the what's... Yeah, whatever the South Beach scene is...
Mm-hmm.
Boston's your city, and
give
you've been like, you've been exactly. You leave literally 12 hours after you win a championship, and you jet to another city.
Talking about how amazing and how much it meant to them to win in TD Garden, to win in front of these fans.
Right?
Oh, bye though.
See ya. We're taking our money to South Beach.
Basketball and partying are two different things.
You got to party in the city that party in your
city
after you won the title.
It'd be different if you're... Okay, so remember when the Washington Capitals won their title in Vegas? I was on the air that night. I was actually, weirdly enough, doing a show from Atlanta. But I remember it was all out. It was a total party all night. They took over Vegas, right? And we had videos and photos of Alex Ovechkin with the Stanley Cup and a bunch of his teammates. And they were out all night partying in Vegas.
Right.
Everywhere they went, people wanted to touch the Stanley Cup. So fans were following them. Ovechkin's drunk, so he's like letting people hug the cup and all that jazz. But that's different. You're on the road.
No, that's different because you're in Vegas.
Well, but you're on the road.
I understand that. But see, you're missing the Boston, Miami, Vegas.
Hey,
what
I love Boston. Boston's where I used to go when I was a kid and mom would give us the car.
Not the same. It's just not. It's not the same scene for what they're looking for.
Boston's got a great bar scene.
They're looking for what they want. I've been to Boston a lot. It's not the same.
I mean, if what you're looking for is risque bars, they've got that everywhere.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Marco. Is Marco cooler than us, Jay?
All I know is that if I'm a Celtics fan who lives in Boston, I am so put off by this. It almost makes the championship not worth it because they're going to party in the city.
Stop it. I don't get it for sure. It'd be different if it was secret, right? Like if it wasn't broadcast to the world. Hey, they just took like a couple of quiet flights. But this was friggin' all over social media. When the plane takes off, when the plane leaves. They left 12 hours later.
Yeah, see, I'm a little surprised that it was on like the board in the back of the locker room where it was like, time to get
true.
The That
yes.
was the part that seemed a little strange. Because it was almost like the countdown. It was almost like the NCAA where you're putting the different teams that goes to the championship. Like they were trying to get to Miami. That was the goal. It didn't seem like the championship was the goal. It was let's get to Miami versus the goal. So that was a little surprising that was so prevalent in the locker room. But them actually going there to party, I got to be fair, doesn't overly surprise me because that scene is so... I mean, those are the two places.
It's off the charts.
The only other one that kind of even comes into the conversation is New Orleans. So it's kind of like, Miami, New Orleans, Las Vegas. Like there's only a few places.
Your party's more important than your city?
for the actual party. Well, see, you're going to party in your city too. Like, you're going to have your parade. They're going to do that.
Just, Jay and I are not on board. Again, maybe we're not super cool and all, but we're just not on board with this. It feels kind of tacky. Party. Yeah, and the fact, again, it was broadcast everywhere that that's what they were doing. It just, a lot.
That part is a little strange. Yeah. But again, it's not like they're not going to come back for the parade.
Well, I know.
And it's not like they're not going to have 4 or 5 days in the city, and then they're going to go somewhere else to party. Like, this is not going to be, well, we had one party in one spot. They're going to party from now until training camp. And that's what they do.
They're all going to be fat when they end up at training camp.
Like, that's what you do. You win a title. You could party all off season.
How do you feel about this? I'd say get out of my city. This is our spot when we win.
Or the fact that it was Miami that knocked them out of the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago, and that's where they're going to party. It is just a weird juxtaposition of.
Yeah, I think that's because we get a little too. I mean, half of the Heat players will probably be with them.
That's true. That is
if
so true.
If they're still
true.
Around
Hornets
there.
Players in the locker room last
that's,
night.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So like, true. It's just, it's not the same from what we think of.
Again,
and battles and all that. They're going to go
Marco
hang.
Pointed out, we're not 25-year-old rich guys who just won a championship and then get the heck out of Dodge. It's odd.
Yeah. They're not flying coach.
Like they're, no, it was a charter. You know, and it was like, its progress was tracked all over the internet.
They had it conquered if they could. Yeah. Quickest way to get there.
At Amy After Hours.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To have a big win, the biggest win that you could have in front of your home crowd, I felt like that was really important to go out there and do everything in my power to make sure we won this game tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Huge clinching game for one Jason Tatum. And yes, he mentioned the failures at home, having lost game 6 of the NBA Finals 2 years ago, losing at home to the Miami Heat in extreme fashion last year in the East Finals. But then finally, winning at home in the clincher of their 18th franchise championship. I still think it's hysterical that it was all over the internet and the social media. Hey, we're heading to Miami. Love it. I mean, Will Smith did it. Why not? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's quick talk to Rajiv, who's in California. I'm no joking. I have 60 seconds. Go.
All right. I agree with you. It is definitely weird that they're sort of traveling to sort of do that. Back when the Red Sox won the 2013 World Series championship, you had Johnny Gomes running shirtless through the streets of Boston with the trophy. And when the Bruins last won the Stanley Cup, you had our center, 6'9", right, the tallest player in hockey, wheeling around the Stanley Cup in a baby stroller through the North End, the Italian section of town.
That's funny. And I'm sure that there will be some of that. But just odd that as soon as they're done winning the title, they head to Miami. Yeah. Why not wait till after the parade or something along those lines?
Exactly. You'll have plenty of time for that. Yeah. Right. I still can't believe it's our 40th title for the city, So
interesting. Yeah, that is crazy. Thanks so much, Rajiv. Always good to hear from you in California. I think maybe the fact that the parade is until Friday plays a part in this. But still, it just feels odd to me. It's a disconnect. Jay, someone called me old on social because I think it's weird that they went to Miami. I'm not sure what that says about you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.